Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 21 of season 100, the home stretch. Question one asks us for the name of a Japanese pinball game, and that's really all you need to
know. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. The only name that came to mind at all was Pachinko.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a pinball game quite in the same way we'd think of playing one in an arcade here. Because I want to say that the Price is Right game, Plinko, is kind of the similar format as it. But well, I may be wrong about that.
There's kind of a story behind it. Okay. Originally, yes, Pachinko was the balls came down and from the top and just bounced around and eventually made it to the, you know, the bottom. Uh-huh. And where they landed was, you know, how many points or what kind of prize you got.
Sure.
And then it was decided that that was that was gambling because it's just luck.
Well, yeah.
So they did add paddles.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, my dad had a pachinko machine in our garage for much of my childhood. It's basically it's pinball but vertical.
Okay.
And there are little flippers that you can use to to influence it to enough to make it kind of skill based. that was pachinko.
Sure. Yeah, and that was the correct answer. So I guess that's that. Question two asks us about English plays by Peter Schaeffer from the 70s that both have titles in Latin. We're asked to provide one of the titles.
I just couldn't grab onto this at all. Mm. It didn't. I tried going through all the Latin things that would be play titles that I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
And just nothing worked. So finally I just went with the first thing that had come into my mind when I was trying to think of something that would be in Latin and would be a play title, and that was Caveat Emptor.
Oh, okay. I just assumed one of these had to be Equus, and I didn't know or I couldn't imagine what the other one would be, so that's what I went with. It came to mind right away, because I feel like there's been one or two Equus questions in relatively recent seasons.
Maybe? It's come up previously.
Yeah, it seems like. I was like, if there's a third play by some other writer and that's what this actually is, then I'm hooped. But I just thought, yeah, Equus, I've heard of that. I know that's Latin. Done.
Well done, because Equus was one of them. And one of the other one was Amadeus.
Interesting.
Which our linguist friend quibbles that's not so much in Latin as it is a Renaissance Neo-Latin version of a name.
Yeah, it's not something you translate into a Latin word or to have meaning in that sense.
Yeah. Oh well.
Indeed.
Question three tells us that a panel from a comic book named Secret Hearts was adapted into a painting by what American artist?
Right, and it is a painting called Crying Girl, and it's a very iconic pop art kind of picture. Probably everyone, well, lots of people reading this question, I am sure, like myself, could immediately picture the work itself.
Pretty much.
And then to be asked to name the artist just seemed like an additional indignity. But it was one where I knew that I knew it. This is also the style where it was emulating that comic book printing process where it's with all the dots that sort of fill in different shades of color.
Yep.
And so this one is the one I really had to let percolate because my brain wanted to be all, it's Mark Rothko. Like, no, that's just the first modern artist you're thinking of. and then what about Mark Rothko? No. Go back to your corner and do something else. After a while, after doing that back and forth of like, I know this, what could it be? It's not, you know, these other options that I thought of. It's not Peter Max, who was like the psychedelic kind of artist who did the Beatles album cover.
Okay.
You know, had to kind of shoo away a couple of those things. But I think Rothko was my brain's attempt to get to some of the sounds in the artist name. Because after a while, the name Roy popped to mind. And then I had to sweep away all the little brain voices going, Roy Scheider? Roy Woods Jr.? Like, no, it's not any random Roy. It's like, you know, it's a specific Roy. Go back to your corner and think about what you're doing. And so that one really, I just had to let it sit and let it sit until finally it kind of popped, just like Roy Lichtenstein. Oh yeah, that's, you know, that kind of settled right into the right puzzle piece space. And so I patted that corner of my brain on the head and said, good job. And so I put down Lichtenstein, spelled a little different than the country.
I'm surprised that it took you that much effort to get it, because for me it just popped right in, like, oh, this is this is Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
You know, who copied John Romita's style and made a lot more money at it. Not that I'm bitter.
And that was the correct answer. Certainly.
I did misspell it. I spelled it like the country.
Oh, well.
So I'm hoping that I get credit for it.
I'm sure you will. Question 4 asks us to identify a French fashion company that is named after a race course in Paris.
Nope.
Yeah. So go.
Yeah, I know none of these. I just I had to come up with a French fashion goods company that I could not immediately identify the name of. Like,
sure.
I'm thinking like, oh, Yves Saint Laurent. No, that's a dude's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect he was not named after the racetrack. So
right.
Balenciaga? Is that a thing? Okay. That sounds more Spanish, but hey, sometimes you name things after places in other countries. So, you know, sure, we'll go with Balenciaga.
Yeah, I had the same process of like, well, it's not Chanel because that's named after Coco Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Christian Dior because that's named after Christian Dior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many of those names like that that I, you know, could try to go through while also struggling through the too broad of a category vapor lock of think of a list of French fashion house names. Do I gotta? All right. So Gautier, no, that's named after Gautier. And on and on like that. So eventually, a name that had popped to mind pretty quickly was Givenchy, which I thought probably that's somebody's name, but I couldn't think of immediately who, like a first name for that, you know, person. And so that was my best guess because I just couldn't immediately think of the actual person behind the label. So sure. Givenchy was it for me.
Fair. Yeah, it was Longchamp.
Okay.
Which I presume is pronounced that way.
Well, yeah.
It's French. Who knows?
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
And I'm very shocked to say that. Like, I'm not exactly a fashionista, but like I have a long history of occasionally reading about fashion.
About them, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, this is something my mom was interested in, and we got, you know, the W newspaper to our house for many years in the 80s, and just, like, to have never, to feel like I've never run across this name is kind of wild.
Yeah. Question 5 asks us which country of the Eastern Bloc was violently overthrown in 1989, as opposed to pretty much all the other ones, where it was much more peaceful.
Yeah, and I don't know why Romania was the first one to come to mind for me, but just sort of thinking about the regimes that had been there, which were just awful. Just, you know, brutal kind of rulers in that area. And so I tried to test it against other possibilities that I could think of. You know, is it Serbia? Is it, I don't know if it's Macedonia? It's all these different things. And Romania was just the one that kind of had the, you know, sort of the aura about it as the likeliest answer just because of knowing that the regimes were brutal means it's going to take an effort like that to make them go away. So I just thought, okay, let's try Romania.
I just remembered that Nicolae Ceaușescu was dragged out of his presidential palace, I guess, home, office, whatever, and murdered by his countrymen.
Right.
I remember winning a debate tournament in high school. No, it must have been. No, it was in college. Because my opponent had no idea what I was talking about and said, and admitted it, was foolish enough to admit.
Oh, wow.
They did not understand what had happened in Romania very recently. So that helped. But yeah, this was Romania. And while I would quibble slightly with the peaceful Eastern Bloc revolutions, some of them were maybe not this bad, maybe not actively violent, but there was a lot of this could go very badly moments.
Sure.
That I would not necessarily describe as peacefully.
Right.
When these regimes fell. Mm. I can't quibble enough to matter for this question, and right. They basically all turned out okay for the most part.
Yeah, they certainly didn't end with someone's being murdered over the regime change.
Not the leaders of the country, definitely not. No.
Yeah,
he was the only European communist leader to suffer a Mussolini, as you might call it.
I see, and that was the correct answer, of course. Sidebar: did I know that you were in the debate team in college?
It wasn't like the official college debate team. It was a debate thing, like on. It was just our campus,
like so a club kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of intramural debate.
Intramural debate.
Yeah,
that's just hanging out and arguing.
Yes, I did a lot of that too.
Finally, question six asks us what president was nicknamed Old Kinderhook and was defeated after one term.
Yeah, I have. I'm really good at presidents of the 20th century. Mm. I'm fairly good at mid 19th century. But the early 19th century is a complete hash for me because there were so many of them who served one term. It was like 8 or 9 in a row at some point where it was just one term. A lot of times it was because the person just didn't want to be president. Because back then the president wasn't as presidential as it is now.
Sure.
So I don't know, like 1812 to 1850 is a void for me. And I can kind of eventually list like, those 8 or 9. But I'm not going to get them in order. I'm not going to know what dates they were president or anything like that. So I just kind of had to, Tyler, Polk, Taylor, Van Buren was in there somewhere. Fillmore, Pierce, blah, 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 blah. And finally, I tried like doing the math and figuring out who would have been around there, and I just couldn't. And so I finally just said, well, Fillmore, that sounds about right. I know he was in that around that era. So I'll say Millard Fillmore.
Yeah, this one, the name that came to mind first for me was Martin Van Buren. Mm-hmm. Thinking of the Kinderhook part sounded vaguely Dutch, and so yeah.
I
should have listened to that impulse.
Yeah, I thought that too, and then waved it off because, no, it wasn't that obvious. I know that it wasn't that obvious.
Right, exactly.
That Van Buren, for whom Dutch was his first language,
yeah,
our only president who did not speak English at home.
Right.
But that would be too obvious.
Yes, too on the nose. And so I, kind of cast around for other possibilities. And then for whatever reason, Chester Arthur came to mind. The reason is that I don't know what I'm talking about. Fair. Your version of the first half of the 19th century is for me the entirety thereof, except I know Lincoln was there in the Civil War time. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's the next thing that I need some web game to go viral and correct for me so that I can finally make up some ground here. But I did put down Chester Arthur because why? I don't know. Because my brain hates me sometimes.
Fair. Yeah, he was much later. 18th century. He was, I think he was Garfield's vice president. So that would have been 1880.
I mean, why aren't you bringing this up at the dinner table so that I can know these things?
Because, believe it or not,
talk about Chester Arthur more, please.
You want to know why I remember that about Chester Arthur? Because it was a plot point in Die Hard 3.
Oh, well, perfect.
That's why. That is the extent of my, this is why Chester Arthur is locked into my brain.
Well, apparently he's locked into mine, too, a little too hard, because... that was, of course, not the correct answer.
No, it was, in fact, Martin Van Buren.
Yes, concern it.
Our first American president.
Right.
He was the first one not born as a British subject.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The only one who did not speak English, as I said, as a first language.
Indeed.
And one of those one-termers in the early 19th.
Right. And, you know, part of it was I kind of thought that he had been a two-term president for whatever reason.
Reasonable.
I don't know why I thought that. Maybe just because that side of him sounds so wholesome in some way.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I got to go back and learn stuff.
And in our lifetime, the only presidents who only served one term were either absolute angels or the worst human beings who ever lived.
Well.
So, yeah. Logically, if Martin Van Buren was just kind of, you know, reasonable, then he would have served two terms.
Yeah, I suppose that's the case. I mean, I can't tell which assessment you're giving to Bush 1.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Bush 1. I was thinking Carter. And
because I would have put Bush 1 kind of in the middle of those two polls, actually.
That's true,
He wasn't terrible.
Yeah, relatively mediocre. True, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. So I had three.
Yeah,
this was a hell of a day.
Your purpose there was to make me feel a little better about the four, but I should have had five because I should know that very basic thing about, you know, who was president when.
Mm.
So, gotta work on that.
Those are acceptable to not know, I feel like.
Yeah.
Nearly 200 years later.
Also acceptable is to not know this French fashion thing because I am committed to believing that literally nobody outside that company has ever heard of that company.
There's one question every season that Thorsten just completely makes up. Just absolutely telling us all a lie. And everybody has to just kind of nod and go, oh, yeah, sure, it's a long shot. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that, but that makes sense. Yes, okay.
Yes, definitely. I mean,
the fact that there's a L'Arc de Triomphe race is just... obviously
but it's a
incorrect.
Horse race. That's the wild thing. Like, a thoroughbred race?
Mm-hmm.
In La Paris?
Mm-hmm.
What are people doing?
That can't be, like, to the Arc de Triomphe. Can't
I
be,
mean,
right?
Can it?
No.
It's in Paris, it says.
It's just named after it.
Well, this is all made up, though, is the thing.
That's true.
True. You know, this is some sort of absurdity being projected upon us, and we shouldn't trust anything.
Fair. Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game ranting about how it's all horse crap anyway.
And, yeah, excellent advice from the two of us.
Follow us on Blue Sky at Learned Lag, now with all the vowels. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.